speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We have been speaking this week about coping with loneliness, coping with grief and sorrow. And today I invite your attention to John chapter 9, the first four verses. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Today we're dealing with the question about why bad things happen to good people. It seems that today the idea is still prevalent as it was in Old Testament days, as well as in New Testament days, that suffering is brought on because of sin. We hear the friends of Job coming to comfort him, yet they're asking questions, "Can't you see what has happened to you, Job? You must have done something awfully, terribly evil for this to have come upon you. You need to confess what you've done so God will again be merciful to you." Well, his comforting friends had sat with him for 7 days when they saw the terrible distress and the condition of Job. But they are harsh words of judgment when they began to speak. These so-called well-meaning friends are beginning to ridicule him, or at least accuse him. And you would think that people would automatically assume that this man needs sympathy. But sadly, people assume guilt on the part of the sufferer. And even today, some people still believe that anything bad that happens to you must be because you're guilty. There are things that happen to us that we bring on our own head. There are laws of nature and laws of logic that we cannot break without suffering some sort of consequences. If we eat more than we need, we'll gain weight. We may have indigestion as well. If we don't pay our utility bills, our utilities will be cut off. If you don't bathe, you're going to have body odor. These are all small and affect factors that no one would dispute. There are things that we have complete control over. Things that we do for ourselves and things that we do to ourselves. They range from inconsequential to some that have very deadly, serious consequences. No one can drive a car at 100 miles per hour around a sharp curve and expect to keep the car on the road. No one can take illegal drugs without serious repercussions to himself, to his health, to his family, to his finances. Those who lie and manipulate events for their own greed would be foolish to think that there would never be a payday of reckoning. Deception brings loss of respect. It brings broken families sometimes. It brings the loss of jobs. It may even bring jail time. And the Bible also recognizes that there are many times people bring their own destruction upon themselves. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, we find in Matthew 7, verse 24 through verse 27, Christ talking about a wise man and a foolish man who each built a house. The wise man built his house on the rock, while the foolish man built his house on the sand. Well, what happens when a house built on a sand is threatened by a storm? The storm inevitably comes, and the house falls because of a lack of a foundation. Who caused it? Nobody caused it. But it's very poor judgment in building on that sand. Storms are a fact of nature. They are a fact of life. Storms must be contended with, and sand always shifts. The destruction of the house was a foregone conclusion. It was the man who sealed his fate by trying to build where he had no business building. And the same is true regarding building our lives. Our lives need to be built upon the solid bedrock foundation of God's Word. If we build upon the sand, then our lives are going to come crashing down. As we stated before, there are other reasons that bad things happen. We go back to Job. He'd lost his children. He'd lost his possession. He'd lost his fortune. He'd lost his health. What had he done to bring such grief and such sorrow and such loss? What sin was in his past that clouded his decisions? None. For you see, in Job 1, God himself refers to Job as a man that was perfect, that was upright, one who feared God, one who eschewed, that is, one who hated evil. Then why would evil come upon Job? Because it was necessary to show others, as well as to show Satan, the example of Job as one who had implicit trust in God. Job had the power to choose how he would react to all his life as it fell apart. And God knew Job would not blame God nor denounce God. And our God often uses people who are in certain circumstances to teach others. Again, we go back to the blind man in John 9. The man had been blind since birth. And it was the disciples of Jesus that asked him, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" John 9, verse 2. We see here that even the followers believed that infirmities were some kind of punishment for sins that he had committed. But Jesus answered that neither the man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God could be made manifest in him. The blind man lived in a certain time, a particular place, that made him an important person in the furthering of the glory of God to all those that witnessed the removal of his blindness. John said that there were many other miracles performed by Christ that are not written in the Scriptures. But he said, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you might have life through his name." John 20, verse 30 and 31. Even the friends of Jesus were aware of his ministry, and they were concerned about suffering. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had grown desperately ill in John 11. They sent for Jesus so that he could come and help his friends. But Jesus deliberately delayed his stay for 2 days before heading toward Bethany. By the time he arrived, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Jesus knew of the death of Lazarus before his arrival. He had spoken of it as Lazarus being asleep. He knew of the grief of Mary and Martha, but by allowing his friend to perish, he made it clear to those witnessing the resurrection of Lazarus that he was indeed the Son of God. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live." Indeed, he is the resurrection and the life. Since God had created us as free moral agents, he's also given us the freedom to choose between good and evil in our own lives. This means that all those around us also have that same choice. Many times, other people's choices will bring misery and suffering to innocent lives. What had Abel done wrong? Nothing. Abel was a righteous man who tried to please God with his sacrifices. In Hebrews 11, verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. But because of the jealous anger of his brother Cain, Abel lost his life." Cain murdered his brother. And murderers have a choice. So do rapists, thieves, pedophiles, adulterers. All manner of evil people have a choice in the matter. Why was Joseph put into prison? It was because of the wicked advances of Potiphar's wife, and later that deception that she used to cover her own sins. In Genesis 39, you can read about that. Why did John the Baptist have to die such a cruel, horrendous death of being beheaded? It was because of the evil in the lives of Herod Antipas and his wife Herodias, who couldn't stand the truth shining on their sinful relationship, Matthew 14. And because of the wickedness in their hearts, they prompted the daughter Salome to ask for John's head on a platter. In Matthew 5, verse 45, our Lord says, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." The rain in this verse is not just concerning physical water of rain. It's concerning the hardships, the disappointment, the heartaches that all mankind must endure. Both good and bad receive their fair share. Can you imagine what it would be like if God did play favorites? If God kept a protective umbrella surrounding His followers, whereby only blessings and happy days and green lights followed them wherever they went? How long would it take everyone else to figure out that unless you wanted to be persecuted, you wanted to have hardship, then you need to be a follower of God? That type of situation makes following God mandatory. There's no faith involved. There's only a knee-jerk reaction that has nothing to do with love and dedication. That type of reaction is one you can get out of trained animal acts. We're not trained animals. We're not wound-up robots. We're loved by an almighty, merciful God who doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to have eternal life, but the choice is theirs. So God treats all men fairly. Jeremiah 54:5 speaks of those Israelites who were taken off in exile. Both the righteous and the evil suffered the same consequence. God is no respecter of persons. Have you ever seen small children, say about 2 or 3 years of age, that are never loved enough to be disciplined? They are spoiled and spoil rotten. And if left on the same track, by the time they're 18, they're going to be intolerable, selfish, demanding people that are probably going to wind up on the wrong side of the law. It takes discipline, not punishment. It takes discipline and training to become what we're capable of becoming. The maturing and the learning process takes a lifetime to complete. It doesn't end until death. It takes time to develop patience, to develop understanding, to develop unselfishness, to develop sincerity, to develop love. And without God disciplining us, we would probably end up intolerable. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:7, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto honor and praise and glory at the appearing of Christ." So again, we ask, why do bad things happen to good people? It may be a refining process. It may be for others' benefits. It may be because of a bad choice we have made. But it doesn't mean that we have sinned. We all sin, though, and we receive forgiveness of sin by turning to Christ in complete faith and obedience that leads us to be responsive to all of His commands. For today, my time is gone. Until tomorrow, pleasant good afternoon.